Good morning. If you would, open up your Bibles. We're going to be looking at a number of scriptures today. We're going to be looking at the concept of spinning your wheels. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you've gotten stuck in the mud or gravel or something like that. My son used to have a four-wheel drive truck, and he and his friends would go out. I think they called it mudding. I think that's what they called it. And I'm going to see a few rattles of the head where they'd go out and drive in the desert and drive in the mud and all that stuff. And I tried to teach them, maybe not enough, but how to drive in, four-wheel drive conditions and so forth. And I get a call one time that he'd gotten stuck, and he had to call old dad and dad's old Bronco to get him and his new fancy four-wheel drive unstuck out of the mud. I get out there. He had that rear end down. He had spun those wheels, worked, spun those wheels, and all he did was get himself deeper and deeper and deeper in mud. He was spinning his wheels, putting a lot of effort. That truck had a lot of effort trying to get out. I'm sure those RPMs had gotten up really big. But all he did wasn't going anywhere. And he just kind of kept getting deeper and deeper. You know, people that ride stationary bicycles or treadmills and things like that, put a lot of energy, put a lot of effort into the activity, but they don't get anywhere. You know, those people that ride the exercise, I mean, it does benefit them, I'm not saying that. They're not getting anywhere. Like compared to a bicycle that is propelling itself and going someplace. Well, it's bad enough, and I'm sure you've all been in something, maybe at work or in the house, you're putting a lot of effort into some, and it just doesn't seem like you're getting anywhere. A lot of energy is expended. Maybe at work, you're just not getting anywhere. That's frustrating. It's very frustrating. But when you apply it spiritually, it can be dangerous. And we're going to look at the spiritual aspects of it today. The idea of spinning your wheels, maybe putting some effort and energy into, quote, religion, but not getting anywhere. Got to get over here, get lined up where the clicker works. You know, there's a lot of reasons why people get in a situation like that. You might recognize some. Maybe you've been in a situation where you're spinning your wheels, putting a lot of effort into something but not getting anywhere. Maybe you've witnessed it. Maybe family members, maybe relatives, friends have been in a situation like that. And why do they get in that situation? Sometimes, and I'm sure you've heard these, you know, it's all I know. Maybe they were raised in a denomination, and that's all they know. Or they live their life under the idea, I think, I feel, instead of what does the Bible say about it. We're talking in class today in 2 Timothy, pride. How, you know, a lot of people, I've always done it that way. And if you ever get to the realization, I need to change, that's tough for some people because they're saying, I have been wrong. That's tough for some people to say, I was wrong. Everyone else is doing it. There's comfort in the majority. There's comfort in numbers. Well, everybody, you know, I'm not near as bad as so-and-so. Everybody else, there's so many people doing it this way. Can't be wrong. Maybe it's due to lack of knowledge. Spinning your wheels, my son, it was just lack of experience and lack of knowledge. And a little bit of pride, not wanting to have to call Dad. I'm sure that galled him. Dad, I know how to do, you know, and then having to wind up calling for old Dad to come get you out. But lack of knowledge. Lack of, and the good thing about the lack of knowledge is that's within our realm of changing. The attitude, it was good enough for Mom and Dad. Maybe you were raised and Mom and Dad taught this. And that's sometimes that pride and fear of the concept. You come to the knowledge that that was wrong. Well, maybe they were wrong. And that's sometimes tough to face. But if you don't, you're spinning your wheels. Maybe some people are just going through the motions. Any effort that is being put forth, and if it's just they're going through the motions, it's wasted effort. And last but not least, their actions and decisions in their lives are not based on the Bible. It's based on maybe worldly outlooks. I want to look at some of these different categories. We always need to make sure that we don't use our standards, whether it be life or spiritually, especially spiritually, as the guide to our life or to worshiping our God. We don't want to use our standards. We want to use the Bible. In Proverbs 14:12, we see the great guidance in this verse. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. The world has a concept, their concept, and the majority seems like they're in that. And we, being the minority, we're the one with the different belief. We're the one with the different teaching. And the entire world may be going a certain direction based on their view. There is a way that seems right to a man, but it's maybe not found in the Bible. I think, I feel, has no place in our spiritual walk. The way is death. We can't follow the masses. We can't follow. I've said this before, that I think the only time that God's people were in the majority was on the ark after the flood. We've always been in the minority. Matthew 15, verses 7 through 9, this was the scripture reading that Kurt had earlier today. It says, and this is Jesus talking, he's calling these people hypocrites. These are religious, the scribes and Pharisees. They were religious people. It says, hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. These are people that were religious. The people on the day of Pentecost, it says, were devout men. But they didn't know the truth. Cornelius was a devout man who worshiped God, but needed the truth. We don't ever want to be in that group of people that Jesus would say, these people draw near to me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. If we've anybody like that, they're just spinning their wheels and not getting anywhere spiritually. And in vain they worship me. These are people that worshiped, but it was in vain. Might as well have just thrown those words of praise to the wind. It was in vain. A perfect example. One of the best to me in the Bible was Nadab and Abihu. And in Leviticus 10, we see, it says, then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it. They were priests. They were the sons of Aaron. Moses was their uncle. It's not like they haven't been taught. Put incense on it and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. They had been taught. They did it a different way. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. They were going through the motions. They were in their eyes in a worship service. They were offering incense and sacrifice to God. They were doing it in a way that they had not been instructed. Their father, Aaron. Their uncle, Moses. You know, had taught them the correct way. They did something different. We don't know exactly what. Or I don't know exactly what. They did it the way God had not commanded them. We see some admonitions that is important for us today to look at. In Matthew 7, fairly lengthy passage, verses 13 through 23, Jesus is talking to his followers and he says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. We were talking the other day, I don't remember if it was Wednesday or last week, This verse came up. I can, mostly because of hiking and camping, I can recognize some trees. I can tell a pine, I can tell a cottonwood, an elm, a palm tree. But I wasn't raised a farmer. I didn't have an orchard, etc., etc. In the off season, I could look at an apple tree and I wouldn't know if it's an apple tree or a pomegranate tree or a plum tree. I wouldn't know. But when the fruit is on it, I could tell that's an orange tree. I'm smart enough to see an orange. An apple is not going to be produced on an orange tree. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do religious stuff and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. These were people that thought they were following Christ. These were people that were putting effort into their religion. But Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. You practice, you live by lawlessness. You don't live by my words. In 2 Timothy 3, this is a verse we went over in class this morning. Paul is writing to Timothy and he's talking about in these last days, perilous things are going to be taking place. And he says, having a form of godliness. On the surface, they look kind of religious. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. These people are spinning their wheels, always learning things, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus talked about that. People that see, but they're not seeing. People that hear, but they're not hearing. In John 4, Jesus says, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. He is looking for us to worship Him like that. He's seeking such. And goes on to say in verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. One without the other is not true worship. There are people throughout the world this very moment that are worshiping God in spirit. In their eyes, that's what they're doing. But maybe some don't have the truth. In vain, they're worshiping Him. Or vice versa. There's a lot of people this very hour throughout the world that may be worshiping properly, but their heart's not in it. They're not worshiping in spirit. They're worshiping God, saying they love God, but they hate their brother. They're here. They're warming the pew, but their mind's a million miles away from God. Jesus said to worship the Father, you must worship in spirit and in truth. Without it, you're spinning your wheels. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Diligently. That's a strong word, diligence. We don't just kind of go through the motions worshiping God that way. Diligently seek Him. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, this is something that Jewish families and in their worship and even in their home, they would have known this backwards and forwards. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. All. Giving 100%. This is something that this concept goes all the way back to the Old Testament. It's not a new teaching that Jesus introduced. And a few chapters later in Deuteronomy, not only love the Lord your God, but keep His commandments. This day the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes and judgments. Therefore you shall be careful to observe them with all your heart and with all your soul. Not just love the Lord your God. Kids, we say we love mom and dad. Do we do the things that they say? When our kids say they love us, we love to hear, Mommy, I love you. We love to hear, Daddy, I love you. But when they do the things that we've taught them, that's how they show it. Same with God. We're commanded to observe these statutes and judgments. Not just love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, but to keep His commandments. Jesus said that very thing in John 14, verse 15. He says, if you love me. A lot of people say, oh, Jesus, I love you. A lot of people were following Jesus. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's pretty straightforward. It's conditional. If you love me, and many people say they do, if you love me, keep my commandments. Matthew 7, 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Many of you have been in the construction trades as a career. Even those of us that haven't, we understand the concept. A house is only as strong as the foundation it's built on. You can build a great house, but if it's on a weak, flimsy foundation, it's going to fall. Jesus goes on to say, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. A lot of effort was put into building that house. A lot of time, a lot of energy, but on a flimsy foundation, built on sand. The foundation gave way. They were spinning their wheels because they did not build on the rock. We have a warning. As we're wrapping things up, we've had some admonitions, some teachings, but also a warning. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. We don't want to be like many people in the world, a lot of people that scriptures have been written about that are spinning their wheels. They have a form of godliness, but are not achieving and are not pleasing to God. If you're not in Christ, you're spinning your wheels. Living a life that the world says you don't need God. You're spinning your wheels. Even after you've put your Lord on in baptism, You still need to adhere to those commandments. Jesus said in the Great Commission, go into the world baptizing, but teaching all the things that I've commanded you, so that you're not spinning your wheels, where that your efforts are pleasing and getting us closer to that upward call. If you're not a Christian today, I urge that this is a great time. The clock on the wall says it's a great time to put your Lord on in baptism. If you are a Christian, I urge you to continue putting and building on that foundation that you started on, to where we're not spinning our wheels like so many. If you need to respond to the invitation today, if you need prayers, we would be glad to pray with you. If you need to repent of sin, that's the start of going in the right direction. You can't go in the right direction if you continue going in the wrong direction. If you need to repent of sin, prayers of congregation, if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, or if you'd like to identify with us. If you're a member of the church, you're a member of the church. You know, whether you're from Memphis, whether you're from Las Vegas, you're a member of the church. If you'd like to identify with us here and work with us here at this location, we would love to have you. If you're just moving in, we would be glad to have you call this your church home. Whatever your need, if you'd come, let your need be known as Steve leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.